My name is Fee-Fi-Fo Finn. I am the handler of this Delta Green campaign, this 90s Delta Green campaign. Going down alphabetically through the Discord chat, I'll have you all introduce yourselves, your character, and remember to also mention your character's new code name. So starting with you, Sanders.
Oh, hey. My online handle's Anixis. I'll be playing Dr. David Tai Song. He's a science professor at the University of Chicago. He was brought on to Delta Green as Agent Sanders. He is a former gymnast. He usually has like slightly unkempt hair. He dresses more like a student than a professor when he can get away with it. And I'll go to the next person, I suppose. That's about it.
Hey, everyone. I'm Amber. I am playing Leah Mitchells, FBI field agent. And as of now, she will be going by the name Celine.
Great. I'm Bark. I am playing federal agent Paul Burgundy, a.k.a. the newly christened Sloan. He is kind of an asshole. That's basically all I got. On to you, Stain.
Okay, so I'm Pelly Powers, and I am going to be playing Special Agent Dean Winters, a FBI field agent, like Celine, who goes by the code name Stain. It was not my choice. fun fact about Winters, he is officially the beefiest agent. With a 17 in strength. That's okay. All she wrote.
Okay. And then I think that's everyone, is it? Okay, perfect. So, we're going to get started. So, it is at the start of the scenario, it is September 9th, or rather September 8th, 1994. It's only a few weeks after the conclusion of your last investigation. Not a week before, you were brought into a room at Chicago's International Airport, a hangar. You were brought into a shabby room in this hangar where you were briefed by several high-ranking people in the U.S. government. They gave you the lowdown on the group that you have agreed to join, called Delta Green. The very brief abstract of what they told you, it's a group that was founded primarily by the FBI, the Department of the Treasury, and the ONI. That's the Office of Naval Intelligence, in the late 20s. It was formed after the discovery of essentially alien life forms, aquatic alien life forms, intelligent life forms that were engaged in undermining and causing other horrible shit in a small town in Massachusetts. The town was dealt with, and a further investigation into these alien beings was prompted. Eventually, they expanded their mission in with the onset of the Second World War, where they were folded into the OSS. And they sort of continued their mission throughout the 40s, 50s, and 60s. In the 70s, they had to downsize quite a lot and have still engaged in their mission since. They are official. They are part of the government. So you've been told. They operate, essentially, what the term they use is they perform blacker than black ops. So they... essentially everything that you do is going to be under the auspices of a official investigation with your parent agency, which for most of you is the FBI. Paperwork will be fudged, paperwork will be, you know, mishandled, and there will be lies told to basically everyone outside the conspiracy. Because on paper you'll be doing mundane investigations that regular FBI agents do, but your true mission will be to investigate, eliminate, and cover up the existence of the unnatural and prevent the loss of human life. You were inducted into S-Cell. You've been told that the conspiracy operates in a cell structure, which is similar to how most like foreign spy agencies work. Terrorist organizations adopt a cell structure. It is a very widely adopted like structure for covert operations. You are S-Cell, and you have been given code names that begin with the letter S. Agent Dean Winters is Stain. Agent Paul Burgundy was Sloan. Agent Leah Mitchells is Celine, and then Dr. Song became Sanders. So, at the conclusion of your last investigation, you were pulling up information on Whole Earth Enterprises. This is a very large conglomerate, a business conglomerate in... it's centered in New York City. They have some interesting ties to many figures that you have been investigating, most notably Belial. We got to edit that out. Most notably Robert Hubert, Stephen Alzis, a few other people. They are interested in they're interested in all sorts of like different industries. They do manufacturing of like chemicals and hardware. They own like quite a lot of real estate in New York. They also like they have their hands in a paper production company. They own a club in New York, Club Apocalypse, and they have some interesting connections. The company and its membership, its directors, have some interesting connections to the man that you were investigating earlier, Johannes Nepier. Potentially through them, you will find him again. But for the time being, your first assignment as Delta Green is to respond to an active situation. You're going to be assigned to an operation where you will, you know, as I described earlier, you're going to be operating in the field under the guise of an FBI investigation. However, Delta Green is going to brief you on your actual mission. So it is September 8th. You are all of you are in Chicago, which is where most of you live, well, except for Winters, who I believe is in Montana. So you are all summoned during your workday. The FBI agents among you are called to a meeting room by Special Agent in Charge Craig Mayhew, who you understand has connections to the group, to Delta Green. This would include you, Dr. Song, at the end of your workday on the 7th. You would have been called in for a meeting on the 8th. Same with you, Stain. You are given a note while you're at work. The details are kept pretty light. What you are told is that Delta Green has an operation for you On the surface, you are going to be involved. On the surface, you're going to be involved in investigating a spree of child kidnappings in Brooklyn, with the cover that this is, you know, suspected to be linked to the activities of Johannes Nepier. This is a cover, although your mission is actually very, very simple. Another agent of Delta Green will give you the full briefing at JFK Airport in New York. Tickets have already been purchased in your name, and well, the FBI, for you FBI agents, this is an official investigation. For you, Dr. Song, the FBI has gotten in contact with the university. There's an arrangement that's been made a long time ago. You are being attached as a consultant. That's being taken care of.
Question.
Go on.
So, with our official FBI cover, I don't know the policy IRL for this, but if you're part of an active investigation as a federal agent, can you bring firearms aboard a plane?
Yeah, so federal agents are... You like declare it at customs. Bear in mind this is the 90s, so like it's not nearly airport security is real, but it's not fucking as stringent
as
it
was
become. Yes,
as 9/11.
Yes. So FBI agents are allowed to take their standard issue firearm with them on a plane. But like, you're not allowed to take long rifles or shotguns because those are property of the regional field office and are checked out and returned to those field offices. So if you wanted to take a shotgun, the Billings field office in Montana for you, Winters, would raise an eyebrow and say, well, you're going to New York, just get one from the New York field office.
How hard would it be for me? Could I possibly bring my Colt Delta Elite? That's a heavy pistol. Would that be a problem?
Is that your standard issue firearm?
Well, I think actually the FBI did have it in the runnings for being standard issue, so if it's all right with you, sure.
Okay, yep, you can bring your... Yeah, if that's your standard issue firearm, then yeah, you can... I mean, yeah, you just declare it at customs, they understand, you bring it on through.
So Celine would probably have an M4 with her, but it's her personal, and it would be properly cased and put through TSA.
Okay. Yeah, you can probably, yeah. I imagine that, like, the FBI, yeah, FBI agents are generally going to be treated favorably when it comes to transporting weapons. That is a personal firearm, so that is, yeah. That's not it. They're not going to stop you and be like, what's the purpose of your... Are you part of ISIS? No.
94, ISIS did not exist.
No,
at least
no,
not
I know that. I know. That's
one an eye of some guy somewhere.
That's exactly why what I said is still correct. They wouldn't ask you that.
Hell yeah.
They actually would not likely ask it today as well, as long as you case it properly before you travel.
Are you part of the Egyptian god ISIS? It's like, what the fuck am I into? You get a TSA, right?
Okay, so I have another question because Amber was allowed to do it.
Go on.
If I have it properly cased, could my agent bring his father's hunting shotgun?
Sure.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, but is your father cool with that?
His father's dead.
He's like super dead, dude.
Yeah, he's hella dead.
He got eaten by a Wendigo.
Yeah. Anyways. So yeah, anyone who wants to bring personal fucking firearms in the plane and shit like that, it's cool. Yep. So, we cut to September the 9th. All of you are at... Your flights are rather late in the day, so you arrive in JFK after an overnight flight on the morning of the 9th at like 6 a.m. The briefing, the official briefing material you've been given is that there is a string of, like, again, child disappearances throughout Brooklyn due to classified details of these cases. They are believed to be in connection to the activity of a known fugitive and serial killer Johannes Napier, and that you are going to be, you know, talking to so-and-so about talking to this person for further briefing. It's very brief. It's very kind of abstract. And yeah, you're given a location to meet this person. You are told, give me a moment, to meet them in at Greenwood Cemetery in Brooklyn.
All right.
Who wants to drive?
Ah, dude, Sloan's already got the keys.
We are taking two cars. Thank you very much. Dr. Song, you want to ride with me?
Yes, that would be best, I think. Thank you, Celine.
Me and Burgundy both know what happens when we ride together.
Oh, yeah. All right. And on the way there, I'm still... What was the name of that band? The band that Whole Earth Enterprises manages?
Oh, Charnel Dreams?
Oh, yeah. He's like... He doesn't even like him anymore, but that's the only thing he brought with him to listen. So he slams that in the fucking cassette player on the car.
Okay.
What type of music is that?
Terrible. Bad.
So there was this thing called radio stations back then.
What? No, he's no like way. Obsessed with it. He's like hate listening to it.
So, all of you figure out. I imagine you are getting like you're renting cars from like Hertz.
I am gonna go ahead and do the housekeeping here and just say, hey, right now I also get a standard issue shotgun from the local office.
Yeah. So, are you going? You've been told to like first go to the cemetery to receive a briefing.
Okay.
So
that's fair.
We'll get that before you get that before you get your firearms and all that, if you decide to go get them. So you both pull up at the cemetery. You are like told that the meeting will be like an hour after you land, so you kind of have to hurry over there a little bit. Not like tear ass through Brooklyn, but you know, you gotta be brisk. But you get there, you pull up. It is a kind of brisk October day. You are walking through the cemetery, and you meet a woman who, you meet a woman who is sort of walking slowly amongst the headstones. She is a rather tall, rather fit looking woman, in her, 30s, maybe her 40s, with red hair. If you can imagine, Jessica Chastain in Zero Dark Thirty, that's a good like mental reference. He will come up to she'll come up like, you know, come up to the four of you and would smile and say, "You're pardon me, I don't mean to pry. You are friends of Alphonse, yeah? You've been told ahead of time that this is the like the challenge phrase to confirm it's you." The response is to the response is to answer in the affirmative.
Yes, ma'am.
Affirmative.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, it's very nice to meet you. I'm glad you could come out on such short notice. If you follow me, please, I prefer to walk and talk.
Of course.
Winters. Sorry.
Go on. No, go on.
I was just gonna say Winters is gonna follow. About it.
Mm-hmm. So she will introduce herself as Agent Thalia, or Thalia, Thalia. She does not tell you her real name. She does not tell you what agency she represents. She does not even explicitly say that she is Delta Green, although that seems to be, I mean, that is obviously, I mean, that's pretty apparent given the fact that she knows the challenge phrase, and the circumstances that she's meeting you under. But she walks through amongst the headstones and along the little trails cut through this, this cemetery. You notice as, as like people are like passing her, she kind of stops the conversation and picks it up once they're out of earshot. But the briefing she gives you is that you were all earlier last month, or I said it was September, not October. Sorry, September day, which is still fall. But anyways, pardon me. As she's walking through tombstones, she informs you that the investigation that you performed last month regarding Nepierre and the stuff that you pulled up on Whole Earth Enterprises triggered something with the group. Essentially, Delta Green keeps a number of like protocols. These are certain series of events or events that happen in certain areas that, like, if a pattern emerges, Delta Green is notified, or the protocol is activated and a group is sent to investigate it. In this case, one of the files that you submitted, or some of the files that you submitted, set off one of these protocols. And that is a spree of kidnappings in Brooklyn pertaining to a what is known as a hotspot. This is an area that is like known to have like recurring either recurring unnatural phenomena to happen within it, or it's like not believed to be a fully how would you say, the threat persists there. In this case, this hotspot is the S. Gerritsen Mansion in Flatbush, which is a neighborhood of Brooklyn. The protocol that's been activated was put together in the aftermath of an operation in the 1960s called Blister. At the moment, because of Delta Green has had some moments in the past where we've lost quite a lot of our paperwork, we don't exactly know the circumstances of Blister or what was done during it. We just have the protocol, which, you know, was triggered as I described. So you, your group, your cell is being brought in for its inaugural operation, which will be codenamed as Operation Blister 2. As part of Operation Blister 2, you'll be tasked with investigating the disappearances of the three children. Determine whether the source of the disappearances is unnatural in nature and whether they are connected to the S. Gerritsen Mansion. If you uncover unnatural activity, report it to Delta Green and stop it. And if you come up with anything that your cell is not capable of, report it to Delta Green and await further instructions. You are given a phone number to contact the group with. It's a telephone number, and then an extension code, which is 6644. Additionally, there is a storage unit. We call these green boxes. These are temporary storage units that we use to store things that can't be dealt with on scene. Also so that they can be studied, later to, you know, in case we can learn something about the threat. She would give you a address for a stealth storage unit, as well as the code to enter it. You are free to use the materials in it at your discretion. Any illegal material inside the green box has to be used with extreme caution and discretion. I believe you were told this ahead of time. If you're caught doing something illegal for an FBI agent, you yourself will have to take the fall. The group cannot, will not help you, and we will not tolerate you trying to expose the group to cover yourself.
Are there any questions? Don't get caught.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of. That's not like self-explanatory. Yeah, don't get caught doing illegal shit.
Unless you're smart. But That's not my forte, so hiding is better can I get caught.
No questions?
I don't suppose there's any.
During this break. Go ahead.
Go on, Onyxus.
Yes?
So, there's anyone remaining from the original blister?
We don't know. Again, the only piece of paperwork that we have that even acknowledges blister's existence is the protocol.
Great.
You know that it was in this area. It dealt with some stuff that happened involving disappearances in the S. Garrett's and mansion, but we don't have any records of personnel assigned to it. Also, given the health we ran in that era, it's unlikely that you would find any, even with, like, if you looked for FBI records or whatever.
So, my question was, I don't know if you already said it, I have a memory of goldfish. Where exactly are we heading?
Well,
to start off with?
Well, you have three disappearances of three children, and then the location of interest is the Garretson Mansion, which is in Flatbush. I'm going to, in notes, post a little map of the locations of interest. It is up to you where you go first. That is your cell's discretion. If you need to contact me, just do it through that extension through the phone number extension that I handed you.
I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I personally vote for going to the green box first.
I was actually in the same boat.
I mean, we don't even know what we need right now. So I say we go talk to people first.
Okay. So the three, So you have she would also hand over like a manila folder that has the NYPD's files on the three disappearances. As of right now, the NYPD have no inkling that these are connected. You are the first. They are giving you the full jurisdictional power to investigate this at your leisure. If you wish to tap them for any assistance or resources, you do that yourself. Once your briefing is finished up, she's on the other side of, like, she's going towards the gate of the cemetery. She nods to you. She says, well, good luck and be seeing you. And she will walk towards the curb, at which point you notice a white panel van will pull up, slow down. The back door of it will open on its own. You would see the man driving it is a Caucasian man in a black suit with black sunglasses. As soon as she gets in, it just drives off.
All right. What do... I guess I'd like to take a look over at what exactly is in these files.
Okay. So there is, the files are pertaining to three disappearances. Now they happened in, July, June, and May. Now these are going to be numbered differently on the handouts that I give you because the handouts are from, the book that these are from is really weird because it states that you can set it at any time. However, it also dates them to very specific times. So it says it says March, April, May, but this is May, June, July. So this is the first one. Give me a moment. So this is from May the 6th, the abduction of Catherine Strout. That's that file, and actually in a moment I will have you kind of read them out, but just give that 1 second. The third disappearance is from June the 5th. It's of Franklin Elders. And then the final one, the formatting on this one's a little strange, but final one is from July 4th. Sandra Cohen. Okay, so who said they were going to look over the files? Is that you, Winters, or was that you, Paul?
Sloan.
Okay, Paul. So Sloan, what I'll have is you can read the case file for May 6th, Catherine Strouch, and then we'll go from there.
All right, Catherine Strouch, white female, age 7 months. The child was sleeping in a child carrier on a bed in a third floor, one bedroom apartment in the Windsor Terrace neighborhood of Brooklyn. Her mother, Emily Strouch, white female, 22, was folding clothing in the living room within sight of the bed. Outside of the window, raccoon footprints were found in excrement on the fire escape. At 6:08 p.m., the bedroom door slammed shut. Before she could reach it, the mother heard the lock turn. The mother broke the door down and found the carrier empty and overturned on the floor. In the bed, she found three old split bones with the marrow scraped out. These were later identified as human remains, the bones too old to have come from the kidnapped child. The only suspect is the estranged mother-in-law, Janice Strouch, white female, age 61, who has a history of psychiatric problems and saw the baby only once. The child's father, Emily Strouch's husband, is serving active duty overseas. Janice Strouch is under indefinite voluntary commitment to the Manhattan Psychiatric Center. Mother and father are not considered suspects. The case is still in active investigation.
So who wants to read the second file there?
I guess I will if nobody else wants to do it.
Okay.
Okay, let me pull it up. So Franklin Elders, right?
Yep.
Okay, April 5th, Franklin Elders. Black male, age 11 months. The child was with his father, Devin Elders, black male, age 29, at the Atlantic Avenue Street Market in the Borough Hill neighborhood at 4:39 p.m. when he vanished. The father, in front of witnesses, was sitting and eating pizza, allowing the child to walk back and forth to a nearby food tent, unoccupied. The child went behind the tent, laughing, and was never seen again. Suspicion fell on the father first, but dozens of witnesses came forward in his defense. And two cameras at the scene corroborate a story. Neither camera captured what happened to the child. Extensive searches, a public outreach campaign, and multiple news stories failed to locate the child. On May 10th, remnants of the child's clothing were found at the mouth of a drainage pipe near the Brooklyn Heights piers, about a kilometer away. Clothing had rips and tears consistent with animal bites and scratches, though no blood was present. The current theory is that the child fell down a sewer catch basin and drowned. Since no body was recovered, the case is still in active investigation.
Okay.
I can read the next one if you'd like.
Yep, that's good.
May 4th, Sandra Cohen, white female, age 2. Sandra Cohen was playing in a small fenced-in backyard in Carroll Gardens, Brooklyn. Her mother, Elizabeth Cohen, white female, age 25, supervised from a kitchen window while washing dishes. At 2:29 p.m., Elizabeth Cohen called the police, claiming her daughter had gone missing from the yard and that she didn't know how. She was frantic. The report indicates Elizabeth became distraught and violent at some point that evening. She was held, but not charged, for striking a police officer. A police search of the yard uncovered a sunken standpipe in the high grass near the back of the yard. Fresh metal scrapes indicated that its cover, weighing about 75 pounds, had been moved and then slid back into place. A search of the sewer access revealed nothing except 9 small 22-inch sewer leads, which police could not access. A body was never located. The child's father, Emil Cohen, a white male, age 27, a wanted felon, is considered a suspect.
Okay.
Very, very strange stuff. I mean, sewer lines?
Pennywise, you guys. think we're dealing with Pennywise. That would be a very terrifying...
What the hell? So
you stupid. Read too many horror books.
So stupid.
Actually, a small detail that I have to amend. It didn't dawn on me until now. Because the dates had been changed. I do need to change the dates again. Catherine Strouch, instead of May 6th, disappeared May 25th. Franklin Elders disappeared on the 23rd. And then Sandra Cohen disappeared on the 22nd of July. Oh, sorry, that's 11th. So that was a mistake on the handler's part.
So what I'm thinking is, let me cook, okay? So there was raccoon footprints found in the excrement near the window of the first victim, right? And the other victim, the second victim, their clothes had animal bites in them, right? So I'm thinking this is some sort of shapeshifter, maybe?
Dude, you have a hell of an imagination.
And do shapeshifters even exist? Like, we see some sketchy stuff, but I just don't know.
Here, Winters is probably going to look over the files and say, you guys have any idea what kind of animal could abduct a child without anyone hearing?
I mean, that kind of animal could abduct a child in the first place, right?
A wolf could.
We're in the middle of Brooklyn, man. We're the wolves. There haven't been wolves in New York City for 1,000 years.
Not only that, notice that one of the children was taken from a third story apartment.
Feasibly a large dog could do it, but...
Well, so... I'd like to stick to the theory that it was a large dog. It just Princess got out one day and took all these children.
He doesn't bite, I swear.
So, one thing that I will have, who here has any amount in occult? I think one of you upgraded your occult.
I have a pretty solid occult at 35.
35, okay.
Leah's got 18.
So,
I've got 10.
35, I'll have you make a roll, please.
For you, anything. Ooh, that's a fail. 37 over 35.
Yeah, you're not sure. The dates stick out to you. It's very interesting that they are spaced by roughly a month, but not exactly. Mm. That's the only thing that comes to mind. Nothing really jumps out at you. The timing is odd. Now maybe it's that there's a great deal of preparation going into it.
Right. And we said we're here in the 9th, right?
Yes.
Feasibly. If this is a pattern, I mean, it's only really have a couple, like maybe a week, 10 days before something horrific happens again. I think from here, it's time to talk to people. I mean, see where, I'd like to see where exactly they were taken from as well.
Okay.
That's actually what I was about to suggest. Winters is going to, he's going to try and find any information that might be relevant, like if the police found anything else around the scenes.
The whole, like, the entirety of the investigation that they've done, barring any leads that are, like, obviously dead ends and not pertinent, for our purposes, the entire thing is presented to you here.
Oh, okay.
These are all the details that your agents deem relevant. There's a lot of, like, canvassing of the neighborhoods. Not a whole lot is found, but, yeah.
Okay, so instead of that, then, Winters is going to follow what Burgundy said, and he's going to suggest, hey, why don't we try looking around ourselves, see if the police missed anything.
Mm-hmm. I would love the doctor would join us as well if we get access to these scenes. The strongest one with forensics here.
Makes sense.
Will you be joining us, Celine?
I mean,
yeah.
Let's stick together till we have an idea of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.